Well, praise God. Let's go to the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs, I want to preach a Father's Day message, if I could do that this morning. Take this opportunity to look at some things and to help us here today, if I can. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. And somebody said amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. Amen. I'm going to preach to the dads here this morning, but I want to preach to all of us here today. And it's a little bit difficult, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Easter, some of the holidays that we celebrate here. Some have really good memories and some don't have really good memories. And sometimes it's very difficult to know what to say, how to say it, so that you bless folks and not offend folks or hurt them. And my intention this morning is not to hurt anyone or to boast or to brag. Amen. But I feel like I had a really good dad. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And I'm going to talk about him. I gave honor to my mother on Mother's Day, and for the first time, posting a picture of her. I've got a couple of pictures, three pictures of my dad that I'd like to share with you this morning. And I don't usually do that in my messages, but I'm going to do that this morning. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Amen. I want to talk about the glory of children this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for truth today. We ask you to anoint the word of God and to speak to our hearts. We give you thanks. We give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. A dad is a very precious thing, and if it were not for your father, you would not be here, obviously. But in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the godly father. It talks about the good man, the good father, and says here that the glory of children are their fathers. The Christian father is a very priceless thing as well. And the scriptures speak of it here as glory. And when I looked up that word glory, it means an ornament, literally or figuratively, beauty, comely, which means good looking, fair, glory, honor, and majesty. And so if you have your father here this morning, if your father is still alive, even if your father has passed away and is gone, the glory of children is their father. And the honor, the majesty, the ornament, the decoration, if you please, of a child is his dad. We're going to call him dad here this morning. I don't know too many folks that call their dad father. And if you do, that's fine. But mostly we call him dad. I called my father dad. And my dad was a real man. I'm thankful for that this morning. We're seeing less and less of that in our generation, but my dad was a real man, and I've mentioned him before from the pulpit. He worked in the aircraft plant every day, worked a broken drill, broken arm drill, rather, which is a very big cast iron drill, and you use it for a lot of different things. One of the men that worked close to him said it took a real man to work that broken arm drill. And my dad would get up in the morning and go to work, and he would work all day in the heat, in the winter time, and all of that. And I remember many times he would come home and he would first of all lay down on the couch and rest because he was so very, very tired. But I never heard a word of complaint out of my dad, and I remember him working around the house and making many improvements to the house. I remember especially one Saturday morning waking up. I slept in. You know how it is when you're a kid. You get to sleep in. And some of you know what I'm talking about here this morning. I see some nodding of the heads on the front row. And I was awakened by the sound of hammering. And I got up and got myself around and went outside. And my dad never did talk about it. He just got the materials together. And I went outside, and he was building a rose trellis off the back porch. And after a hard week of work, he was out there improving his house and making it beautiful with some roses. And I remember it made an impression upon me that has lasted to this day. I love to work. I really do. I enjoy working and accomplishing things in my life. And most of that came from the influence of my dad. And his hard work and his consistency made a lasting impression in my life. And my dad taught me without having a single class or sitting me down and telling me this, that, and the other. But he taught me many things by his life, by the way he acted, and by the consistency in his life. And I really do appreciate my dad this morning and all that he did for me. I remember the tragic day that I was at my aunt's house because my dad was not doing well. He had had a massive heart attack about a year before and had bypass surgery, and nothing was working out very well. And I think they thought it would be best if I went and stayed at my aunt's house. And I remember the day I was sitting on the bedroom in the bedroom where I was staying, and my aunt came in and gave me the news that my father had passed away. And I was young enough and naive enough that it did not really hit me for many days. And when it did hit me and I realized what I had lost and what was gone from my life, that shock lasted for a good while, about a year's time, before I really recuperated from that. Because something very precious was gone, and it left a big hole in my heart and in my life. And that's my dad. And I'm sure that any of you here this morning would have memories of your dad and what he did and the sacrifices that he made for you and the selflessness that your dad possessed, never complaining, but just going about his business and doing the job that he needed to do. The scripture says that the glory of children is their fathers. And certainly, if you have had a good dad in your life, there is a beautiful addition to your life that nothing else can give you, and that is your dad. Amen. And fathers, today it's very important that we serve the Lord. And somebody could say amen to that. And that we give our children an example to go by, because living for the Lord is a very powerful thing, and it's very powerful in the minds of children, in the minds of your children. When they look at your life and they see your example, and they see what you do, not only when you're at church and we're singing the songs and we're saying amen and we're clapping our hands and we're dressed up nice, but somebody said this morning they got a plaque and it said something along the lines of you can know the real nature and character of a person when they have been given power. Amen. And dads, you've got a lot of power here this morning. And you've got a lot of influence that you are wielding and that you are giving out every day that you live. It's not so much what we do when we are seen, but it is what we do when we're not seen. Amen. And what we do with the authority and what we do with the power that comes along with being a dad. Amen. I know from example of my dad, and I know from my personal experience that moms and dads, it's a on-the-job training situation. We're working our way through this, and we're coming to a place where they are going to be grown and they're going to leave the home. Amen. And we pray that we have given them everything that they need to live life and to be productive and to be blessed in their life. But living for the Lord is paramount. Amen. Living for the Lord is something that is so very important. And those of you that are not even dads, but are going to be dads someday, living for the Lord is very important. You don't realize it this morning, young men, but you are preparing a legacy for your grandchildren. You are preparing something this morning and every day that you live for your children, because when they get old enough to ask questions, they're going to say, "What was it like when you were a kid, Dad?" They're going to ask, "What did you do in this situation, Dad?" And, you know, it's so easy this morning for us to be critical and to point fingers and to say, "My dad isn't this or isn't that." Well, as I've said over the years, for some of you, it's not going to be that long, and you're going to get to show us how to do it. Amen. And you'll be able to prove to us what it is that is the right way. But for the rest of us that are not so critical, we look at it and we say, this is on-the-job training. It's not that easy, and there are many, many times that the only thing we can do is pray. Amen. And the only thing we can do is put our children into the hands of God. That simply means your dad doesn't know everything. Amen. I know there was a day that you thought he did, and then a day that came along when we didn't think he knew anything. Amen. But the truth of the matter is you have an ornament this morning. Praise God. You have a decoration today. You have a badge. You have something that decorates your life, and it's called your dad. Somebody could say amen with me this morning. I say amen to that. A godly dad especially exerts much influence and leadership just simply by living the life. Amen. Just by simply getting into a situation where it would be easy to tell a lie and you tell the truth instead. And that little heart, that little mind, those little eyes that are watching that big, big dad of theirs says, "I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to tell the truth when it's time to tell the truth or tell a lie. Amen. I'm going to do the right thing because I've got an example." And saw my dad so many times, and the dads that are here this morning, I thank God we've got some tremendous dads here in our church, and you're faithful, and you go to work faithfully, and you're taking care of business in your life. Just simply going to work every day makes a tremendous impact upon the life of a child. Amen. It really does. It says tremendous amount of things. Providing the things that are needed has a very powerful message, and that message will be received. Don't worry about that. It'll be received. There's just something about the human makeup here. We have a way of sensing things. We can tell what's going on, and you don't have to say it out loud. It's just a matter of sensing something, and children can sense the attitude of their dad. Children can sense the love and respect of their dad. They can also sense other negative things as well. And so the very, very most important thing in life, dads and moms this morning, we've already talked to the moms, but the very most important thing you can do is to live for God and do the very best that you can do in your life. Because really that's all that any of us can do, is the very best that we can do. Amen. And it all starts by making a decision to do the right thing. No matter how hard it is, no matter how great the temptation is. A couple of examples come to my mind this morning. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Amen. And this was a situation where Israel had just entered into the promised land, and they had now conquered the city of Jericho. They marched around the city seven times, and the walls fell down. They went in and they conquered the city. What most people don't see is there was a commandment in this. And that commandment was that you are not to take any spoil, but you're just to destroy everything. There's some things that God wants us to destroy in our lives. And if we don't destroy them, they'll come back to haunt us. And if we don't destroy them, they will haunt our children. Amen. And they will affect generations to come. I cannot imagine having this hanging over my head and thinking that it was my dad that did this, that it was my dad that had gone down this road and had failed like this. And if you've failed, I'm going to deal with that here in just a little bit, because there's no point in beating yourself up about your failures, because I tell you, all have failed. Amen. There is no perfect dad. Amen. There's nothing perfect in this world. But Achan was one of the men that went into the city. He was one of the soldiers. He was a defender of truth. He was the defender of God's people. And he went into the city as a conqueror, conqueror of that which was evil, and establishing that which is good. But somewhere as he was going through the homes and doing what he did as a soldier, he saw some gold and he saw some silver. And he saw a goodly Babylonish garment. And he took them and hid them under his tent and thought, "I'll be able to get away with this." Nobody knew about it. Nobody saw him. There were no witnesses. And so they went to capture a very tiny town, town by the name of Ai. Ai. Very small city, small population. And they only sent a few people to take that city. And the city whipped them bad. Amen. They left. Men died, and the battle was lost in that little city. And all of a sudden, the children of Israel thought, my goodness, God just caused the walls to fall down flat, and now we can't even take this little city. And so Joshua went to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and said this right here in chapter 7 and verse 1, that there was sin in the camp, that somebody had transgressed the laws of God, and so they did as their custom was, and as the Lord had established in them, they cast lots, and the lots came down to the tribe of Judah, and then from the tribe of Judah it went to the house of Zerah, and then the house of Zabdi, and then the house of Carmi, and then it came down to Achan. And Joshua looked at Achan and he said, "Son, worship God. Worship God. Give God praise, Achan." And there was something about this dad. His sin caused him not to worship God. Can I just say this as a little side thing here? It's important, Dad, how you worship God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's important how you worship God. And if you can't, then there's a problem there. And he said, what have you done? Tell me what you've done. Don't hold anything back. And Achan did not realize the ramifications of his actions. He said, I saw a wedge of gold and some silver and a goodly Babylonish garment, and I coveted them. In other words, I lusted after them. I wanted this so bad. I thought, man, this is going to look good on me. He probably held it up and said, man, this is my size. And what could I buy with this gold? What could I do with this silver? And all he was thinking about was himself. And he took it and he hid it under his tent. And Joshua said, go to his tent and look. And they looked under the tent, and there was the silver, there was the gold, and there was the goodly Babylonish garments. You know, this morning, personal decisions affect others, especially when it comes to dads. Amen. And when it comes to moms. Because when we look at it this morning, the reality is there is no secret thing. Amen. Everything is going to be exposed one day. And whether you realize it or not, just the spirit of the thing is actually picked up by your children. And we could go through the story. And Joshua chapter 7 and verse 24, go down a few verses here. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them down to the valley of Achor. I'm not really clear on this. I know that they stoned Achan to death. He died there in the valley of Achor. But they took his children. They took all of his possessions. And they stoned all of his possessions, his cattle, everything that he had. They stoned it. They piled a heap of stones upon it. And there it was in this valley. And they called it the Valley of Achor. It was a place where something horrible took place. Actually, it was the result of something that was horrible that took place. Oh God, help us here today to see the importance of living for God. Amen. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. Amen. I know this is a little bit heavy. We're going to go to something a little bit more positive here. But it's so very, very important that we do our very best. That doesn't mean that you're not going to fail. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fall into sin. But how you react to it and what you do with your sin and with your lacking in your life is all important. Amen. But God gave us another example of a great dad, and it was in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And so here Abram is. His name was later changed to Abraham. But here is Abram, and he is in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Just to give you an idea what it is, Ur of the Chaldees was a very wealthy place. They have done some recent excavations in that area, and they found huge homes, much, much larger than homes in other areas that they had excavated. And so it pointed to the fact that it was a very wealthy place. Ur of the Chaldees was very wealthy. Abraham was a very wealthy man. And to be wealthy, of course, you had to have business connections. You had to have associations. You had to have your networks and all that that you do when you're in business. Excuse me. And that's the way it was with Abraham. and he was blessed. But it's not enough just to be blessed and to give your children whatever it is that they want or whatever it is that they need. There's got to be an underlying attitude that goes along with the things that we have and the blessings that we have. And a decision here was required. God said, get out of your country. Now for you and I, and we could read the rest of it, from your kindred and from your father's house. That's your brothers and your sisters, your mom and your dad, your cousins, your uncles, and your own country. Amen. And so if we were to look at that here today, here was a man, he was not a father yet. He didn't have any children at all. And the Lord spoke to him and said, leave your country. You're never coming back to your country. You're going to go to another country where you don't know their customs. You're going to go to another place where you don't have any business associates whatsoever, a place where if they don't like you, they could kill you. And it was very common in those areas and in those days. And yet God spoke to him. Oh, thank God for a man that when God will speak to him, he'll stand up and do the will of God. Not counting the cost, but with an attitude of love and trust in God, get up and say, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to do the will of God in my life. I'll tell you what this morning, friend, for a dad and for a mom, for any of us for that matter here this morning, it has a very powerful, powerful force behind it. Amen. It is the force of faith and trust and belief in God's leadership in your life. Amen. It will come out of you. It will be expressed to others around you. Amen. And Abraham was that way. Abraham was that kind of a man. God said, leave everything behind. Come and follow me. And so Abraham did. And his actions put something into motion. Amen. It was something that would affect generations to come. And in fact, we're here this morning because of that decision of that one man, Abram, who had no children, but here today we're the spiritual children of Abraham. It ended up being Abraham, and then it was Isaac. Amen. And we see in Genesis chapter 21, I believe it is, where God spoke to Abram, and he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice to me. And it was not easy for him to do, but he was able to accomplish it because he had already been down this road. He had already put his silver and his gold on the line. He had already put his business associates on the line. He had put mom and dad and brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles on the line and said, I'm serving God no matter what, and I'm going to do the will of God no matter what. Praise God. And so when he said, go offer your son, what God was doing was testing his faith. Yes, he was, because the Bible says, now I know that you fear God. When he got to the place and he was ready to offer his son as a sacrifice. But I believe that God was doing even more than that. God was putting a faith in his boy. Amen. God had already put a faith in his boy, because as they went up the side of the mountain, Isaac said, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? What are we going to sacrifice? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. Praise God. Well, praise God. I feel the Lord here this morning. And I'm telling you today that God was trying to put a faith in that boy, Isaac, and then into his children, and then into their children, and their children. Amen. God was trying to bring glory to this family. Amen. By giving them fathers, by giving them men of God that would stand and do the right thing. Amen. Men of God that would go forth and do the will of God from generation to generation to generation. Amen. It is a beautiful thing. It's like an ornament. Amen. It's like a beautifully decorated Christmas tree. Amen. It's like a beautifully wrapped package that God wants to give to each and every one of us. Have we failed? Yes, we failed. But I'm telling you today, God has blessed us so richly in that thing we call dad. Amen. Your dad. It's your glory. Amen. And a decision was made here. And it was put into the hands of a dad. Abraham had a simple call that God placed upon him. Leave everything behind and come and follow me. Amen. His actions put into motion something that would affect generations to come. Amen. And his firstborn was born by a miracle. Isn't that amazing when your children can tell the stories of miracles in dad's life? Praise the Lord. When they get a little bit older and say, Dad, tell me that story again about that healing that you saw. Well, let me tell you that story, son. And you can go over the stories of healing that was taking place or had taken place. What about that time? Oh, God, help us today. I remember the church that I got saved in, 2009 May Street. And I remember them telling me the stories. I didn't have a dad at that point. My dad had passed away. And my dads were in the church. And I remember my spiritual father, Brother Stanford, and how he mentored me. And he spent much time with me. And I'm eternally grateful for the time that my spiritual dad put into me. And I remember him telling the story of a lady, Sister Ball, that came to the service. She was scheduled for surgery. She had a tumor on her side that enlarged her waist 12 inches. And she came to the house of God for prayer. She was faithful to the house of God. As far as I know, she's still faithful to the house of God. And when my dad laid his hands upon that lady, she had to grab her skirt because 12 inches disappeared off of her body right in front of everyone. I remember him telling the story of Harvey Peck, and as far as I know, he's still alive and lives in Humboldt, Kansas. In fact, I found out that he is a distant relative of mine and was on the USS Pueblo when it was captured by the North Koreans. They still have it on display as how they defeated the Americans. He had a pin, a stainless steel pin in his back. And if you know what a stainless steel pin is, it runs all the way up your spine and it's connected to your spine. You cannot bend over. You're stiff and straight. Amen. And he had a stainless steel plate in his head, and one leg was 2 inches shorter than the other one. He had to have it built up. In fact, his boy, my pastor's boy, Nathan, who lives in Maryland, still has the shoe that was built up 2 inches. He said, I got the shoe, and I still have it. And that man came on a Sunday morning, probably a lot like our Sunday morning. I wasn't there, but I heard the stories, and it built my faith. And I've talked to others that was there. Brother Keith was there that Sunday morning, and you saw it happen right before your very eyes, Brother Keith. And he prayed for him, and he had just had a stroke, and he dragged one leg as he came up to the front of the church, one hand going like this, one side of his mouth down, and couldn't speak. And as he came up, he asked for prayer. And he said he lifted the good hand in the air and began to speak in tongues out of the good side of his mouth. And my pastor said, Brother Peck, lift both hands and worship God this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And right before a congregation of people, that hand went up into the air, and he began to speak in tongues out of both sides of his mouth. He began to run around the church. He bent over and touched his toes. He said, I haven't been able to do that in years. He went back. You can believe this or not, but there's a witness here this morning that saw it. Amen. And the pin was gone. They took x-rays and the pin was gone. Amen. And the stroke was healed. And he had trouble walking after that because his leg was made 2 inches longer, the same length as the other leg. I'm telling you today, I've got a decoration. Amen. I've got an ornament. Amen. I've got something that I can glory in. And it's not in me, but it's in my spiritual father. Well, praise God. I'm telling you today, friend, we've got such a tremendous opportunity this morning. We have a tremendous opportunity when we walk out the door of the church to live right. We've got an opportunity today to do the right thing, even when it's difficult. Amen. Because we are laying a foundation for our future. We're building stories, even if it's not your own children. Amen. We're building stories for these children's children. Amen. To bring back up in another point in time. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. Brother Greg, I'm going to finish here in just a minute. He's got a couple of pictures he's going to put up for us here this morning. I want to honor my dad before we finish today. And then I would like for us to have prayer together before we leave. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, here he's speaking of the dads or of the fathers. You could say a physical dad, or you could talk about your spiritual father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And so, dad, it's not so much how much money you make, or the cars that you drive, or the home that you live in. But do you know him? Amen. We were somewhere yesterday, and I won't go into any detail at all. Someone was talking to me about this about the Bible, that about the Bible. And they had all these facts and figures and all of these things about the Bible. And I felt the Lord, and I thought the Lord was going to open a door for me. And as we sat down to eat, I sat down by this individual hoping that that door would open up, and it didn't open up. But my question to that person that was sitting beside me was going to be, you know a lot about the Bible, but I've got a question for you this morning. I've got a question for you. Do you know God? Do you know God? And maybe I need to ask that question this morning. Oh, we know about the church. We know what time service is. We know how to worship. We know about how long the pastor's going to preach, give or take an hour or two. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. I really am going to finish this morning. But do you know God? Do you know him? John wrote, and John was the beloved. He was the one that leaned on the breast of Jesus Christ. He said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. Young men are known by their strength, by what they can do. They can push things and it'll move. They revel in their accomplishments. But I tell you what, a real dad doesn't revel in his accomplishments. And his relationship with his children is not performance-based. You do this and I'll accept you. You do this and I will not accept you. But a real dad, a mature dad, someone that has maximum influence, is one that first of all knows God and just simply walks with God. Amen. Amen. And if you've fallen short this morning of that position called dad, don't be discouraged today, because God's so good to us, isn't he? Isn't God good to us? You know what he did today? He gave us a brand new day. God gave us a brand new day today. This day has never existed before. It will never exist again. And today is a day to get started all over again and to do it right. And believe me, when you do it right, all those times that you failed will be forgotten. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't know of a dad that feels like he did an outstanding job. And maybe I'm wrong this morning, but I don't feel that way. Amen. We all feel like we've fallen short. We all feel like in some areas we're failures and we didn't measure up. But I'm telling you today, you have an important position. Get started today and do the right thing today. Amen. Because it will be a long, long-term situation that your effect and your influence will project on out. Amen. For those of you here with a living dad, the best thing you can do for him is pray for him and honor him. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Doesn't say if they do it right. Doesn't say if they're perfect or not. It just simply says, honor your father and your mother. Amen. And the best way to honor your dad is to understand that God gave him to you as a great, great blessing. Amen. And they say when you get old, you become a philosopher. I don't believe I'm a philosopher. But in recent years, I've started writing poems. Could I read a poem that I wrote last night? Would that be all right? One hand up. All right. Somebody needs to help me. Give me a little encouragement. Sister Reed, would you come this morning and get ready? And I just simply titled it Dad. And when I get to the last part of it, Brother Greg is going to put a few pictures of my dad. Has anyone ever seen a picture of my dad? Anybody here? Nobody? Annette has. And Sister Reed has. When they used to come out to the house and we'd pull out pictures. Yeah. You know, it was tragic. My dad passed away. My mother passed away. By the time I was in the middle of my junior year in high school, both of my parents were gone. They had passed away. We had pictures, older pictures of my mom and dad. And somehow or another, in all the moving and all the things and all the disruptions and all of that that followed the passing of my parents, I ended up with no pictures of my mom and dad, none. And it wasn't until just about 3 or 4 years ago that my brother said, my sister, Helen, has a tub of pictures. Would you like to go through that tub and look at those pictures? And Dennis, there was about 100 pictures in there of my mom and dad. And for all of those years, from 1972 all the way to about probably 2014 or 2013, I had no pictures of my mom and my dad. I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll make you appreciate what you had. And when you get up to preach about a dad, it has a lot more meaning to it. And so I just wanted to share three pictures actually of my dad. But I want to try to read this. I'm not that great of a poem writer, but try to follow along with me. And I just titled it Dad. Today I want to say thank you for all you've done for me, the many times you blessed and served so well for your family. You worked so hard and suffered long because you chose to go down the road of giving so many times when no one would know. I could never count the times I smelt the cutting oil that splashed upon your clothes or see the metal burrs that lingered from a stressful day that no one could know. You stood so tall even though you were short, and he wasn't a tall man. Your muscles big and strong. At least they seemed that way in the eyes of a little boy who saw in you no wrong. So kind and faithful, so gentle and true, you were to Mom and to us. When you could get angry, and we thought you would, you seldom made a fuss. It seemed that blessing was your way no matter what went wrong. Your beautiful whistling I can still hear, as lovely as a bird's song. You fought in World War II, but never told us what went on. You just came home from the fighting, and thank the Lord you met Mom. So proud you were to have served, for that's what you've always done best, until the Lord chose to take you, and now in the grave you rest. I give you honor today for being my dad, but even more than this, I thank you and I thank God for your example, a mark that I cannot miss. I love you, Dad, and I pray that I can be a little more like you and a little less like me. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for this special gift called Dad, for he's a real blessing that I want everyone to see. And that's my poem to my dad. Could you put up a couple pictures, Brother Greg? There's my dad. He favors my son. Go ahead and give us the next one. There he is with one of us boys. And then the next one. Look at the smile on his face. That's my dad. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Brother Greg. Praise God. I feel the Lord in this place. I'd like, if we can, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but if you're a dad this morning, could you just come stand up here? We want to pray for you this morning. And we want your children. I know this is kind of awkward. Most dads don't like to be out in front. We can just come all the way across the front here. Look at these dads. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Bill's not here. Brother Tucker's not here. Deontay's not here. We've got a number that are not here this morning. I want to say my hat's off to all of you men. God bless you, and I pray that your influence would go from generation to generation to generation to generation. Amen. Can we all just lift our voices right now and let's pray for these wonderful men. Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for my dad today. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with him. And even though there were times I didn't understand, I didn't understand that he was so tired, so stressed out. But I thank you today, Lord, for all the time that he put in to help to raise me and to strengthen me and to help me. We pray for them. We pray for the dads that are not here this morning, those that have passed on. Lord, we give you thanks today, God, for you've decorated our lives. You've blessed us, and you put an ornament upon us, God, that nothing else can be like. And we give you thanks this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what, dads? We can't do it alone. So why don't you put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and let all the dads pray for one another. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we need your help, Lord. We need your help, Lord. We need your strength, Lord. We need your touch this morning, God. We need the help and the strength of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the strength and the grace of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, lift your voice with us now. Let's call on God this morning together. Come on, everybody, let's call on God this morning. We need God. We need the help of the Lord today.